Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
I'm joined by Hall of Famer John Smoltz. Smoltzy, tell me this. What's harder, winning a Cy Young or an Emmy Award?
Oh, man. Winning a Cy Young. It takes a lot longer to happen. You know, it's funny when you mention something like that. I just go back to all those years of being predicted to win and just feeling like a failure. But in 96, fortunately, I was able to at least get that off my back because that was starting to bother me.
Download the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
The toughest part of the week is soon to be in the rearview mirror. It is one of those weeks in sports where it's an eclectic mix. I love these weeks, though, because we get to stick our fingers in various pies. We get to dot the landscape with opinions and general mirth and goofiness. Don't have to be tied to any particular events outside of the All-Star game. And I did enjoy the Home Run Derby as well. But for the most part, it's one of those weeks that stretches out in front of us like a wide open highway as a bridge, really, from one summer weekend to the next. But there's no rule that we can't have fun in between the weekends. We have to mark the middle. Middle show of the weekend. Middle show of the week, excuse me. See, now I've got weekend on the brain. Middle show of the work week. We call it the hump show so we can get over the hump. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Hump show means you can ask Amy anything. We've had our post up for a couple hours now. Actually, 7 hours? Has it really been 7 hours? I guess so. I texted producer Jay. I asked him to post it a little early on Tuesday afternoon, I guess it was.
I think it's almost been like close to 8 hours.
Whoa. What? You were Johnny on the spot. So that's up, and it's getting a lot of traffic. So good luck with that. Have fun with
filtering.
With your filters, filtering through the questions for Ask Amy Anything. Whether it's our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or our Facebook page, that's how you reach producer Jay. As I mentioned before, the top of the hour, Rob Manfred is touting the fact that baseball attendance is up, TV ratings are up as well. He's all about it. But I suppose if this is his bat flip and his trot around the bases, then he should enjoy it. ...8.3% increase in attendance over the same number of games last year. So what matters more to you, just out of curiosity? Because while we're talking about comparing numbers from last year, attendance is up 8.3% in the last year in Major League Baseball. Or does it matter to you that used car prices are down 10.3% since this time last year? How about that?
That's quite the number. Because remember how expensive they were getting?
Yes.
They were. I bought mine at probably the worst time you could possibly buy a used car.
Except you're leasing, right? So you're not.
Oh, right, but they didn't. Yes.
You didn't buy it.
No, I didn't buy it. But I spend more than I should normally from the time when I got it.
So the reason is, and I have been paying attention to this kind of stuff. Princess Leia is great. Don't worry about Princess Leia. But my younger niece is in search of a used car. Even though she doesn't commute to work, she does work from home for the most part. She needs a car to get around now that she's graduated from college and is actually moving in with my older niece, which is kind of fun. They're going to be roommates. She needs a car. They went car shopping over the weekend. And I guess they didn't find anything that they really liked, but I wanted to let them know, hey, you're searching at the right time. You're shopping at the right time because prices are down 10% since last year. And here's the reason why. people are back to buying new cars again. There's no longer a chip shortage. You know, the whole computer chip shortage that was making new cars not quite as available in every shape, size, color, and variation that you could ask for.
Couldn't get them.
Right. There weren't a lot of brand new cars that were available, and so that was forcing people to buy used cars. Man, the number of times the dealership, my dealership where I bought Princess Leia, came to me with an offer to purchase Princess Leia and purchase her back from me, so a buyback so that I could then turn around and have a brand new car loan. That's why I would not do it. She'll be paid off in October. Yes. Yes, fist pump. Yes. She'll be paid off in October. And so I, of course, am not trading her in for a brand new car payment for the next, 7 years. So for that, of course, I wasn't even interested in trading in my car, even if it meant a nice buyback. I'm sure many of you had the same offer from local dealerships or from the place where you originally got your car. Don't fall for it. Actually, you can fall for it. The problem is it's similar to the housing market right now. You could make big bucks if you sell your house, especially if you're in an area where there is little inventory. I live in a neighborhood and a county where there's not much inventory. So the houses get into bidding wars, and very often potential buyers are offering more than the asking price because they want to get out in front of any bidding war. They're waiving inspection fees, yada, yada, yada. It's so competitive right now to try to buy a home in many parts of the country, not just my county, but in my county, that is certainly the case. The problem is you sell your house and then what? Unless you're moving in with someone else who already has a place, you then have to turn around and either rent, and rents are exorbitant in many markets around the country now, or you have to buy something else with a much higher interest rate. At least that would be the case for me. When I got into my house in 2020, interest rates were incredibly low, and I was grateful for that. But now, no kidding, they're 6% higher than what I got on my mortgage rate going back to 2020. So yeah, same thing with a car. With less inventory, like it has been the last couple of years, if you get out of your car, well, then you got to buy another one. So 10.3% lower for used cars. The prices are plummeting. I think that's great news.
It is good news.
Yeah.
Not gas, though.
No, but it's also not skyrocketing. I would like it to be lower for sure, and I'm disappointed that it hasn't dropped, but you know the reason is because there are so many people on the move in the summertime. So, of course, the gas prices are going to remain high. But it's not as though, at least in my state, New Jersey, it's not as though they've seen this huge increase. I think they've remained mostly steady over the past month or so.
I think it was close to $4 by me.
What?
On the highway, granted, so it's a late spike it up a little bit because it's not like they know they got you, so it's on the highway. Yeah, on the way in, I didn't get to the gas station before it closed by in my town, so I had to get it there. It was $3.89.
Oh, my gosh. That's 50 cents higher than what it is in my neighborhood.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Whoa. I wouldn't pay that.
I had to get here.
That's what you get for not planning ahead.
That's right.
That's your entire paycheck to fill up your gas tank.
It's close.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Our show Twitter is After Hours CBS. We're asking you to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Our Facebook page, too, open and available for you. And on the phones, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Am I the only one who caught this? Probably not. Maybe I'm the only one who got annoyed by it. When, I think it was Ken Rosenthal, who I have great respect for, on the Fox broadcast, was asked about the potential for Shohei Ohtani to get traded or to re-sign with the Angels or to go somewhere else in free agency. Essentially the same question we've been asking you. Our poll is still up on Twitter and on Facebook, so make sure you take it. You got another hour to go if you haven't yet taken the poll. We want to know if you would trade Shohei, if you're the Angels. It's the same question everyone's asking. Did you hear Ken Rosenthal say he's arguably the best player of all time? Did you hear him say that? Okay. Can we not get too crazy? I understand that what we're seeing from Shohei Ohtani is phenomenal. And it's unique. It's rare. We may never see it again. He's a generational player. He's maybe once in a lifetime. I didn't see Babe Ruth play, so this is once in my lifetime. But he's played, what, 3 years? 3.5 years? How do you call a guy who spent 3.5 years in Major League Baseball arguably the best player of all time?
He hasn't even won anything either.
He's won an MVP.
Yeah, I mean, just in terms of, like, you know.
The best player of all time is what he said. So here's my question, and this is certainly an opinion question. I'm not telling you what to think, how to feel. Would you even put him in the top 10? All time. Right now, all time. Yes, he's awesome. And I love to see him smile and interact with the other players. That's probably my favorite part, is when we see him smile. He has to be so focused all the time that we don't really get to see Shohei let his hair down a lot. And it's understandable. Not only is he preparing for each individual pitcher he will face, or the possible pitchers he can face in each game as a hitter, but he's also got to prepare every few days for another start on the mound. I'm not sure if you all saw the interview that Ken Rosenthal did with him once he was done in the game. And Rosenthal asked, how do you manage the days in between your pitching starts when it comes to your fitness? And the answer was, hey, I have to conserve energy as much as possible. My workouts have to be very efficient. He said, I sleep a lot. That's what he said. That was actually the first thing he said. And then he went on to talk about how the workouts have to be really efficient. And then he has to conserve energy to get through a season that's 162 games with everything that's on his plate. So it's not just physical, it's mental, right? It's the volume of information that he has to manage. I understand. We should be raving about him. He's well on his way to winning another American League MVP award. But the greatest player of all time? Am I the only one that finds that a little bit too much? Jay, tell me what you think.
I think he's definitely on pace to be in that conversation, but it's not fair to call him that now. It's almost like irresponsible because he just has so much to go. The projections are there. Is he on pace? Yeah, but you can't call him there now because he hasn't done it. It's not fair to guys like Hank Aaron, Griffey. It just, you know, you can keep going. You can name 30 guys before you can even get there. It's not fair.
Mm-mm. And if you remember when he first got into the majors, the first two seasons primarily, he didn't start enough games to be considered for a Cy Young, right? So he wasn't pitching the full season. And I'm not saying that's a knock on him. All I'm saying is that it's 21, the MVP season, 22, and then now 23, in which we've seen him do both pitching and hitting full tilt, right? So we're seeing 3 years of this, or we're into year number three. And remember, he missed all of 19, right? So it's 18 and it's 20. Now, 20 was a limited season for everybody, but he only started two games that year. They decided not to have him pitch. He was still recovering from the injuries, right? So we're essentially talking three full seasons of doing both, or this is his third season of doing both, okay? The greatest player of all time? Again, don't get me wrong. I think he is a fabulous addition and ambassador for Major League Baseball. I love to watch him. Jay and I are going to go see an Angels game this year because we want to see him.
I love watching. He's probably my favorite player in the sport right now. He's must-watch TV. Nothing against him. It's just you can't put him in that conversation yet. Longevity is part of the conversation.
No, you can't do that yet. And longevity, yes, is certainly something that would contribute to the Hall of Fame. But right now, let's just say for the sake of argument, his career ended tomorrow. Is he a Hall of Famer?
No, he can't be.
No, that's what I mean. How can you say he's arguably the greatest player of all time when he wouldn't even be a Hall of Famer today? As we heard from Maury Brown, who was on his way home from Seattle, it's insane. But come on. Ken Rosenthal, again, great respect for him. He's awesome at what he does. He's been around baseball a long time. That may have been a bit of an overstatement.
Pump the brakes a little bit.
Tap the brakes. May have been a bit of an overreaction. Arguably the greatest player of all time.
It's arguable.
Yes, we are going to argue it, actually. Let's talk to Darius, who's in Vancouver. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, nice to hear from you. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah, no, to kind of reach on the Shohei part, saying he's the greatest of all time is definitely more than a stretch. But the thing is, I think what makes him so intriguing is that he has the trajectory to be in that conversation.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, not often do you see a player who's arguably the best hitter in the game and then saying that they're also the best pitcher in the game.
Right. It doesn't happen. Exactly.
No, exactly. And that's like trying to say you have a player that's the best on the offense and the defensive side. I mean, that is such a rarity in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But to kind of touch up earlier on what you were saying about attendance basically in stadiums and what they're lacking, I got to be honest here. In places like Vancouver and Portland, we're lacking fan bases. I mean, we had the home run derby in Seattle, and we have Toronto versus Seattle. And I mean, here we're crying, splitting ourselves in half, trying to figure out, you know, do we cheer for a team that's like three time zones away? Or do we cheer for a team basically, you know, with all due respect, we love America, another country. And so basically the way I was looking at it is like, you know, a team in Vancouver or Portland right now would sell out a stadium no problem. I mean, in Vancouver, they've got a very high GDP. So, I mean, even though we do have a lower Canadian exchange rate to the U.S. dollar, because of the very high GDP and basically the cost of living here, our dollar equates to a very high percentage even in the American dollar. Like, the Toronto Raptors are, like, the fourth most profitable team in the NBA, even though they've got the exchange rate. But basically, I think what would happen is if you made a relocation to one of these cities like Portland or Vancouver, it would basically shake up the fan base and ownership. And I think that would really, I hate to say it, but you have to sacrifice one franchise
to share
the other franchises. You know what I mean?
Which one are we sacrificing?
Well, I mean, you've got Tampa Bay, you've got Miami. Obviously, Oakland's going to be relocating to Las Vegas. But, you know, you've got a lot of stadiums that are having, you know, under 12,000-15,000 fans per game, you know, and if you have a 40,000 seat stadium, I mean, you're essentially having less than a third of your fan base filling up your stadium. So what I'm saying is that if you have a market like Vancouver, which is, say, starving for, like, and Seattle starving for an NBA franchise, which we both once had, you know, you put these games in markets that don't have teams, it's going to scare other intrigued because there's going to be an interest. You know what I mean? Like, the stadiums are going to sell out.
Well, then why is it a sacrifice, though? When you say that, what are you talking about?
Basically, what I mean is that, like, I'll give you an example. Tampa Bay right now is 27th in attendance, but yet they have the second best team in all of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I, with all due respect to the Tampa Bay fan base, I know there was intrigue with the Expos, and I know Nashville, and there's a bunch of other cities that are intrigued for teams. Basically, if you put a team into a city that is interested in that franchise, you're going to sell out the stadium. Like, for an example, Seattle and Vancouver both were in the NBA, and both would probably love a team back, speaking from, you know, being over here. You see the Grizzlies gear all the time. So what would happen is, like, for an example, if you put a Memphis Grizzlies game, which everybody seems to hate the Grizzlies, but if you, say, went to Vancouver and they played a game there, you would have a lot of fans, per se. You know what I mean? And so what I'm saying in a baseball manner is that you would be selling out these stadiums. So people would be intrigued that are actually Tampa Bay Ray fans that don't attend the game. They're going to be more eager to attend the game because they want to keep their franchises. Basically, I think if you sacrifice a team that's in the MLB right now that's lacking fan base, like Tampa, for example, where you're good statistically, but yet in attendance you're lacking, and you put it into a city with like a high GDP that can sustain a team, and they sell out their stadiums, the owners and the commissioner is going to want to put the team to where it's most profitable.
Okay, I understand what you're saying now. I guess the sacrifice part I wasn't really sure about. I mean, the owners obviously want to sell out stadiums all the time, so it wouldn't be a sacrifice if you put it in a place where there were a lot of sellouts. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. They certainly do want to expand, and the Rays and the A's are right now in the center of any type of conversation about relocation and about retooling the divisions and the leagues and all that jazz. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next couple of years. But baseball has got dollar signs where its eyeballs should be, as does every pro sports league. So there are infinite possibilities if they think there is a way to make money off of it. Darius, thank you so much. I have to let you go because we're running late, but I appreciate your phone call.
No problem. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for listening. 855-212-4227. Ken finds me on Twitter and says, I love the topic, but how many years does he have to play before you would include him in the discussion? In my world, he is already there. That's a good question, too. I think I would at least wait until we've seen a few more years of doing both before we start talking about being the greatest of all time, arguably the greatest of all time. Again, if you look at his stats, he's got now 2018 through this part of 23 as a hitter. Right now we're talking about a guy who, and I'm, please do not take this as me criticizing him. I think he's incredible. One season in which he's hitting over 300, that's the one he's in right now. He had a couple that were in the 280s, a 270. He did have the year, what was it? I think that was his MVP year. Right, 21, where he hit 46 home runs and had 100 RBI. That's phenomenal. He's been an MVP as well as an MVP runner-up. He's a three-time All-Star. And yes, he was the Rookie of the Year going back to 18. But if we're going to call him arguably the greatest player of all time, it can't just be about the hitting. Because there are other players in Major League Baseball who are hitting like that and have more production over the course of 5-6 years, right? You can think about some of the other incredible hitters that are in baseball and say that their numbers are at least comparable to what Ohtani has done at the plate. What makes him amazing is that he's doing both the hitting and the pitching. But we've really only seen now 2.5 years, because he did not pitch in 19. Remember, he was dealing with injuries. They were trying to get him stronger. They didn't want him doing both. And he didn't pitch a lot in 18. Also, 2020 was a shortened year. So 21, 22, and now 23. Again, I'm not minimizing it. I'm only saying that what makes him great is that he's doing both, not just his hitting or just his pitching. It's the combination of the two. And if that's the case, I need more than 2.5 years of it to say he's arguably the greatest player of all time. He is a unicorn. He is rare. He is showtime. He deserves all the buzz and all the attention. But that's not what Ken Rosenthal said. He said arguably the greatest player of all time. Whoa. I know we do love to go off the deep end in sports. All right, on Twitter. And I love it if you argue with me. Absolutely love it. Please feel free to argue. I'm okay with that. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, too. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Would you put Shohei in the conversation for top 10 players of all time already? Jay is all about it. 855-212-4227. We'll get back to your calls. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I don't even know what you can pay the man. He's a unicorn. He's special. I don't even know how to put a number on that. So we'll all find out together.
Sure, I get paid for it as a one player. He's out there doing things as two players. So for sure, you gotta pay him as a pitcher, and you gotta pay him as a DH.
As much money as I have, I give him everything I got.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A few of the players in Major League Baseball who were interviewed by AP Sports about what they would pay Ohtani. What would you pay him? You pay him everything you got. You give him anything you got to keep him around. It's interesting the number of times that I heard what feels like a foregone conclusion that he is leaving Anaheim. So maybe these analysts and some of the others, even Maury Brown, who joined us last hour from, well, he was on his way home from Seattle. But he joined us after covering the All-Star festivities, and he also just kind of casually drops it in that everybody knows Ohtani is going to sign somewhere else. I mean, if that's the case, then Artie Moreno needs to authorize a trade. If that is the case, and it's a foregone conclusion that the Angels can't re-sign him, well, you damn sure better trade him then. I mean, it would suck to trade the greatest player of all time. But if you do already know that he's not going to re-sign with you, then what are you waiting for? You should trade him. It's just interesting because I didn't know that was accepted already, that he is not going to re-sign with the Angels. I hope Artie Moreno's not sticking his head in the sand like an ostrich.
Think about how many teams are still in the mix, too, with all these wild cards and the bidding war that would go on for him.
Right.
How could you miss out on that?
Right. Well, if you think he's not going to re-sign, that's the idea.
Yeah. I mean, if I were the Angels, I would have to have it a guaranteed in order to miss out on that. But
a guarantee,
a chance is not enough for me.
So you would trade him then?
I would.
All things exactly as they are right now, you would trade him. Did you vote yes then for our poll?
Yeah.
You did?
I would.
I voted no freaking way. But if it's a foregone conclusion, and that's my question is, why is everyone assuming he's not going to re-sign in Anaheim? And do they know something we don't know? Because we didn't hear that from Jeff Fletcher when he joined us last week about covering the team. Let's talk to Leroy, who's in Baltimore. Welcome to After Hours.
Amy, every one of these commissioners get on my nerves. And especially Bob Manfred, what he just said about, what's an 18% increase in attendance? Is that true?
It's an 8% increase in attendance.
Okay. Let's take one thing into consideration. Last year, people had still in the mind of COVID. People still were going to ballparks last year. If you're going to compare numbers, if you go back to 2019, which I guarantee you, if he does that, it'll be off.
How do you guarantee me?
What's that?
How can you guarantee that?
Oh, because I know there's more people in the ballpark in 2019.
Okay.
I worked at one of the ballparks, and I knew the attendance back then. And then it fell off 2021 and 22 last year. People were still worried about going back to the ballparks. This year, people are going back to the ballparks. Huh? But he's taking praise for this increase in attendance, which to me, it's false. They should go back and look at 2019, but nobody's going to press him on these numbers. You know that, and I know that. And he's praising these numbers he has. It's just like all four of them. Every commissioner is the same thing. Putting Band-Aid on the problem and not really fixing the problem.
What would you say then about the TV ratings? Because the TV ratings are also up.
Well, you got streaming, which you never had before. 2019, all these streaming TVs weren't out there. everything like that. So you've increased your viewership with more people who live in rural areas, don't have cable, now have access to get baseball TV. And in 2019, 2018, we didn't have these streamings like this, even as only 4 years ago. COVID made streaming popular. So more people bought into streaming. But back in 2019, 2018, I just don't see how he can compare these numbers to last year, which to me, it's false. It's a false bottom to it. But they love seeing it. It's just like you got these cities with problems with murders.
Nope. Not going there.
No,
that has nothing to do with baseball. Thank you. I appreciate your call, Leroy. I do not know if what you're saying is accurate because I don't have the 2019 numbers in front of me. So I'd have to do a little research there. Not sure if I feel like ballparks were all open and accessible last season in 2022. A lot of the restrictions were lifted before the season began. However, if we did go back to 2019, that would be an interesting comparison. And I would be fine looking at the numbers and then getting back to you. I just can't do it right off the top of my head. Some of you are already answering about Shohei Ohtani. So Jay put a post up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. And he's opening it up to the top 10. Would you put Shohei in the conversation for top 10 players already? Top 10 players of all time. I was stunned when I heard Ken Rosenthal and Fox say that he's arguably the greatest player of all time. So we'd love to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Manny, where are you going? A little bit nervous. You're about to get up and walk out. Oh. Are you focused right now? Oh. Manny's a silent partner until his mic goes on.
All right, now I think I'm ready.
Not a multitasker over there?
Listen, you can't trust technology. I might be 26 years old, but I have no idea what I'm doing with this dinosaur.
You sound like my 77-year-old mom. Okay. That computer is from 1985, so I'll give you that. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. We welcome all kinds here on After Hours.
Oh, Amy, thank you so much. You're awesome. This is my first time calling.
Boom.
And I Googled you, too, because I was like, I wonder what she looks like, you know?
Great.
You're very beautiful.
Hey, Amy, it's just a pure thrill to talk to you. I can't say enough about how much I like your show.
I want you to know, you're only starting out in your greatness. You got another 30 or 40 years. The way you carry yourself, I mean, oh, my God, it's like you're a typewriter. You're just reeling away, and you're not boring at all.
Well, that's good to know. Don't be afraid to catch fish. Don't be afraid to catch these fish.
Ride your cup and chase through. Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
I know I am alone on my island, but I swear when I hear her sing this, it sounds like she says, I don't think you should be afraid to catch fish. I know it's feels, but it sounds like fish.
And you're not alone.
Don't be afraid to catch fish. Now that I am in a relationship with a guy who likes to fish, it means so much more to me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Ask Amy anything, not even an hour away. Send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page. FS1 is replaying the broadcast of the All-Star Game from earlier on Tuesday evening. It's been a lot of fun to watch and listen over the course of, the last 8-9 hours? Big fan. Real big fan. And as much as we could pick apart what baseball has done, And the flaws, not only of the game, but of the way the commissioner has run the league, right now it's healthy. And the 47,000 that showed up on both Monday and Tuesday, the buzz around Shohei Ohtani, the enthusiasm for Julio Rodriguez, all the young talent that's in the game that was amassed there in Seattle. It's a great reminder to me every year that the game is in good hands, that there is some supreme talent that's spread out. Well, the Rangers and Braves had more players than anybody else. But that fans still dig it. And I was also pleasantly surprised, no pitch clock anywhere. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Deontay, who's in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Welcome to the show. What do you think about Shohei Ohtani?
Hey, man, what's going on? I think with Shohei, man, in order for him to really have a Hall of Fame career, or to really see it, him to be have that career that he wants, because I think right now, I think he's like a power pitcher. So basically, he's going to have to develop his develop into making a specialty pitcher, more like Glavin, you know, Greg Maddux. He's going to have to go into their route to where he doesn't have to depend much more on power, but more so on, you know, specialty pitches like Glavin with the slider, Maddux with the changeup. So I'm thinking he's going to have to do those type of things. Now, in order for him to still probably be manage the power, he can average maybe 270 as far as hitting, or 250 even at that matter. As long as he's hitting maybe 21 home runs and 70 RBIs a year, I think he'll be pretty good if he just goes that route and want to just stick with power. But I don't think he's going to last that long in the league. I don't see him being in the league like a Randy Johnson doing close to 20 years. I don't see that happening. Or even Justin Verlander, in that matter, you know, going into his 40s. I don't see that being sustainable for him. But if he develops into maybe a specialty pitcher, going into maybe even John Smoltz in his latter career, going into a closer and still being wanting to manage power, now that could work for him. That could definitely work for him.
Interesting theory, especially looking forward. I would agree with you that he's not going to be able to do both his entire career. His physical body likely won't hold up. Now, I hope we get to see it for three more years, five more years. That'd be amazing. But the interesting question, too, though, which one would he choose? We're just speculating. If he had to choose one, which one would he choose? Hitting or pitching?
I think now, because he's so young, everybody enjoys the long ball. So I think he just enjoys hitting more. Pitching requires a lot more thinking, but that's more for the older guys. So, you know, once you get older, you enjoy the mentality of the game. But, you know, when you're young, you enjoy the energy of the game, which is the hitting part. But I think as he get older, he will enjoy the thinking part of the game. So he'll probably lean more towards, I want to, you know, be more of the pitching and try to lay off the hitting, because, you know, hitting, you know, it after a while, it, you know, you just be like, well, I've enjoyed the hype of it. But I mean, if he doesn't wind up falling off like you know, Giancarlo's up there, and you know, who is definitely one of the guys he just disappoint me a lot. He really does disappoint me a lot. The Yankees over, I know they kicking themselves in the foot, because you're watching Aaron Judge come out of nowhere and just take the spotlight, which was supposed to be Giancarlo. You know, he was the guy before Judge got there. It was him. Now, I don't know what's going on with that situation, but definitely Shohei, I don't think he's going to stay in Anaheim. I think he's going to go somewhere and get a big payday. It may be with the Yankees because they love to open up the checkbook. But, you know, who knows? Who definitely knows? And also, I believe Nashville is going to be that next destination for the expansion. Nashville, just everybody keeps talking about it. It has been the biggest rumor. Nashville, Nashville, Nashville.
You mean beyond Vegas? Vegas.
Yeah, beyond Vegas. Yeah, definitely beyond Vegas. Nashville. And it would be nice to see the Braves with a little bit of a competition as far as for, you know, revenue and popularity. Because right now, when you think about the South, the Braves are really, they run it. they like, I mean, no, they run it. They when you think about anywhere from Tennessee, Kentucky, the Carolinas, the Alabama, Mississippi, like the Braves, everybody's roots for the Braves. They get all of their revenue. But to have a team in Nashville, you know what I'm saying, that would definitely, you know, give a little competition for the Braves. So I would love to see it.
All right. I like it. Well, Nashville is one of the most popular destinations for families who are moving these days, families and businesses, actually. It's Texas and it's Nashville. So that's a that's a theory that I'm sure baseball is considering. Deontay, thank you so much for your phone call from Georgia.
Cool.
So chill. Let's see. On our Facebook page, we're asking you about Shohei and should he be considered a top 10 player of all time already? Now, this is dialing back from what Ken Rosenthal said on Fox. Quote, arguably the best player of all time, end quote. Michael on Facebook, he has to win a World Series. I don't know that I would agree with that. But if that's your barometric, if that's your barometer. Mike says too early, but he is on the right track. Paul, not yet, but getting there. Let's see, another one. Otani is getting closer each season. All right, so some of you seemingly hedging. Lowell on Twitter, not yet. Aaron, no, not yet. Ryan says, got to agree with you. Baseball's a game of 150 years. 2.5 seasons is not enough of a sample size. The MLB season is long and strenuous. Can he maintain? So today, no, he is not the greatest. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.